I'm calling this meeting to order, Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors for April 1st, 2014. Please rise for a salute to our flag.
My pleasure. To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we start the public comment, I'd like to read something about Stanislaus County that came from our clerk of the board. Today is the 160th anniversary of Stanislaus County. On April 1st, 1854, California Governor Figler signed a law that established Stanislaus County, which was formed out of Tuolumne County, and had a population of less than 1,000 residents. On June 10, 1854, the first county election was held, and Adamsville was selected as the county seat by 30 votes over Empire City. Adamsville was founded in 1849 and was the first, and it was named after the first county's practicing physician, Dr. David Adams. He had a hotel, a ferry, and a few scattered residents. I might add to that that I own that land today that was Adamsville. It's now in a Chardonnay vineyard. And there is a monument there that the Eclampus Vitus put up commemorating the site also. On January 3rd, 1854, the first meeting of the County Board of Sessions, which is now called the Board of Supervisors, was held under an oak tree with County Judge H.W. Wallace, Major James Burney, and Eli S. Marvin in attendance. On October 21st, 1854, an election was held, which moved the county seat from Adamsville to Empire City by a margin of 29 votes. Empire City was founded in 1850 and had over 200 residents in 1854. The first meeting of the County Board of Supervisors was held in Empire City on May 7, 1855. Members of the board were D.B. Gardner, John Newsom, Robert Smith, with R. McGarvey serving as the clerk. Today, in 2014, Stanislaus County is a thriving community with a population of over 520,000 residents who live in 9 cities in the unincorporated areas. I want to thank the residents and the employees of Stanislaus County for their efforts in making Stanislaus County a great place to live and work. A little bit of history today. Okay, we will now move to public comment. These are for comments from the public on items that are not on today's agenda. I have two speaker cards. The first one is Bob Fords and Armando Flores.
Good morning. I'm going to wear a hat, and I don't mean to wear it out of disrespect, but I do, and we are wearing it in order to promote our event. I'm Bob Flores, and together with Armando Flores, we're pleased to be before you. 2 years ago, Armando and I appeared before you in connection with Ride for Mom, which was an idea only. The idea was to have fun and accomplish good about making promoting lifestyle choices that can impact all of us through a local bicycle ride. You supported us, and we're grateful for that. Since then, we've had over 400 riders each of the past 2 years, over 100 volunteers each of the last 2 years, and we've had over 20 exhibitors at our lifestyle fair each year. I'd like to point out that I think it was John F. Kennedy who said, "Nothing compares to the simple pleasure of a bike ride." Our initial goal was to have fun and create awareness about positive lifestyle choices, which was inspired by my mother, who passed away from cancer the second time around 9 years ago, and she didn't take very good care of herself. I come from a family of large people. We like to eat and drink, and probably as a result of that, cancer and diabetes run deep in my family. So it was during that last episode with my mother that I started riding a bicycle just out of fun through the inspiration of a couple of friends, and here we are today. 800 billion to $1 trillion is spent on medical care and loss of employee productivity each year. And what's interesting is 40% of cancers, I'm told, are preventable, and certainly many types of people who conditions from type 2 diabetes are preventable. And while billions are spent on a cure and on the treatment, what about prevention? Well, I'm happy to report to you that our little group has distributed $15,000 locally over the last 2 years to groups that in some way support our tag, be active, eat healthy, and live better. And we didn't set out to raise money. We just set out to have an event for the community where we can have fun and create awareness about things we can do to better our lives, eat better, and be active. Our proceeds and our funds are run out of the Modesto Sunrise Rotary Foundation, which is a 501c3. And just a little bit of the fruits of our efforts, I want to show you a sign that that was funded through Ride for Mom, that was facilitated through the local bike club, and funding for it, and through the efforts of the county. So there is a positive monetary contribution being made locally. Now the guy there is me, and I'm just here to tell you that if I can get out there in spandex, I want to see all of you out there riding. I'm not asking you to wear a spandex. We'd love to have you out there. This doesn't happen without an outstanding organizing team, and while the project is run through our Rotary Club, it's the organizing team is a group of local people who are fun, hardworking, can-do group who care, share, and want to make a positive contribution to the community. Along the way, we've been blessed to have outstanding volunteers who are also fun, hardworking, and can-do. And also along the way, there's at least 9 public entities that are involved to make this event work, and that includes the county. And I'm very happy to say that your support has been incredible. From Sheriff Christensen, who's done a lot to help us, to Matt Machado, Judy Lindsay, this is just a few of the names that I'm aware of, Janice Terry, a woman named Sylvia, whose last name I don't know, and others. We're grateful to you, and we appreciate your help and support. The event also wouldn't occur without larger sponsors besides our club, Greens, Conchetta, Marsha Herman Design, Oak Valley Community, Valley Community Bank from the beginning, and more recently, Acura of Modesto and Pacific Southwest Container. This year, Saturday, May 10, day before Mother's Day, Johansson High School, 4 routes, a route for every ability level. If you're not a rider, go get that bike out of your garage. It's got dust on it. Bring it down. We'll have bike mechanics to help you clean it up. And the event is meant for the community. If you sign up before April 9 for the 10-mile ride, for $15, you can get a fully supported ride, lunch by Conchetta and Greens, a lifestyle fair that has everything from bicycle art and bicycle antiques, so all kinds of, a little bit of retail, and all kinds of booths on health-oriented issues. And the most important thing is a lot of fun. This year, we've made a couple of the routes better, and we're showing the movie Breaking Away at the State Theater on May 8, which is a Thursday before, and it's $5. You don't need to be a cyclist or Rotarian to be involved. In fact, a third of our organizing team are not cyclists. They just like the project. Grassroots effort, locally grown, no paid staff, a lot of fun, and we'll hope to see you out there. H.G. Wells once said, "Whenever I see an adult on a bicycle, I have hope for the human race." Thank you.
Jim, if I can remind you, I started my interest in cycling all about 10, 15 years ago, and on one of my West Side bike rides, I had the pleasure of stopping at Jim DeMartini's home in my spandex, and I was 15 pounds heavier then, Jim. And I'll never
remember that time.
You do? Yeah. I really remember that because that was when I first started getting into cycling. It's a wonderful, healthy way to improve your lifestyle. And to put it in perspective, our ride really pertains to you up there because the 3 long rides are all in eastern Stanislaus County. And eastern Stanislaus County is beautiful. There are rolling hills. There are many safe roads. So you have a stake in this. And a lot of the riders that come from out of town really enjoy the route. And the county of Stanislaus should get a little credit for that. So don't forget to come and enjoy a really fun, romantic, sports-oriented movie on May the 8th at the State Theater, where our organization will be hosting Breaking Away, a classic cycling movie. And I just want to reiterate to all you guys and all the gals in the audience, helmets are required, but not spandex.
Can I ask a question?
Okay, thank you for that. While we're on that topic there, I'm going to give our...
Can I ask one question?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. If someone wants to donate time because they don't ride a bike, or if they want to donate money, how do they do it?
I go online, I failed to mention rideformom.com, and it'll show you how to register, how to volunteer. If you're interested in donating, there's all kinds of possible opportunities to participate. But thank you for the question. It's rideformom.com. Thanks.
I was going to say our Rotary Clubs in Modesto are sponsoring the Canyon Classic, which is June 14th up in the Del Puerto Canyon area, too. It's where I know Armando likes to ride.
Yes.
So it's a big event, and I think there's three different routes, with the longest one being about 100 miles. Those were the true bike riders. But there's easier routes around Patterson, too.
I'll see you there.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. I have one other request to speak, Carmen Sabatino.
Good morning. You know, it's election time, and I went through, and you do have a policy, the county policy on political activities, that the rights and legal constraints on political activities by public employees under state and federal law are summarized below. I tried to make copies of this, but the ink went out, and it's serious, I would have provided them. But it's page 22-23 of your manual. For employees whose primary job is in connection with federally funded activities, except revenue sharing, employees whose primary job is funded with federal monies are also covered by the Hatch Act. Restrictions which pertain to activities while on duty, to the use of department facilities, and to actions of employees in an official capacity constitute the policy of the department. For all employees, the following are prohibited and permitted activities. Our legal counsel has interpreted as outlined in Government Code 3201-3204-5 and Section 3206 of the Code. And it lists there four prohibited activities. And I, just briefly, you can't participate in political activities of any kind while in uniform. This includes official use of a county vehicle with official seal, even parked, that might imply official endorsement. Example, the sheriff's deputy, security guards, and animal services officers may not participate in political activities of any kind while in uniform. You can go to this policy, and I won't take more of your time, but it's interesting that the portion that I wanted to address are on this page 23, which tells us what are the permitted activities. What can employees do? Well, they can express their opinions on political subjects and candidates. They can become a candidate for a nomination or election in any partisan or nonpartisan campaign, national, state, or local. They can engage in partisan or nonpartisan political activities as an individual or as a member of a group. They can contribute to political campaign funds. If the contribution is not made to or through another county officer or employee, they can do that. They can make them. If the contribution is not made on the county property or county premises, let me direct you to that. The contribution is not made on county property or county premises. So an employee of the county can solicit contributions anywhere, except if it's in a county facility, whether it's this building or other buildings. What brings me to this is that there should be some clarification, I would hope, that could be provided, whether or not these policies apply to the departments of elected officials, and that would be the district attorney's office and the sheriff's department. Do you know? Jim, could we?
Up to you, or Mr. Risen, you want to?
Yeah. And why don't we finish accepting his comments, and then the staff can respond.
Okay. What is happening now is that in the district attorney's office, district attorneys are making phone calls seeking contributions for the election of District Attorney Flatiger. I'm not an attorney. I don't know how to interpret this. But I will look for your opinion, and I will also this afternoon email the Attorney General's office to find out if that is a violation and what is the solution to that kind of thing. Any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sabatino. Mr. Risen, you want to respond?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. My microphone on? Okay. We've been taking a look at our policy recently, and we think there are some areas that are a little ambiguous that need to be cleaned up, and so probably within the next meeting or two, we're going to be bringing back some recommended revisions to make sure that it really reflects accurately current state and federal law without removing rights away from employees to contribute to political campaigns. I can let county council respond, but this is county policy intended to apply to all county employees and officers of the county. But Jack, maybe you have some more you'd like to elaborate.
I'll just reiterate what you said, is that it does apply to all county offices, officers, employees in the county. And essentially, that boils down to you cannot use county resources for campaign efforts. It's what it boils down to. And so if indeed there are county telephones that are being used to solicit funds, that would be an improper use of county equipment, and it would be a violation of our policy. Trying to think, there are some revisions that we intend to make to the policy to make it consistent with both state law and the Constitution to allow employees full opportunity to participate in campaigns in their candidates of choice. But past that, I think the policy essentially is good.
Okay. Okay, very briefly, if you have another comment.
I will. Thank you very much. There are other things that are occurring. I've attended a few public meetings, forums, and the district attorney is being accompanied by three undercover investigators. The two functions that I was at was at the Tea Party. There were two undercover investigators there with a driver outside. Once again, there has to be a distinction. Are these county resources? Now, the investigators were not in uniform. And then at the American Legion Hall, the same thing. These resources, are these people on their own time? Are they making a contribution to the district attorney's campaign? Is it necessary that the district attorney be provided with bodyguards for her campaign stops? Those are some other things that I think we would want to look into. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Is there anybody else in the public who wishes to make a public comment on something that is not on today's agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will now move to the consent calendar. Is any member of this board wish to pull an item from the consent calendar? Anything, does anybody from the audience wish to pull an item from the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
And I have a second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent calendar. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And motion's carried 5-0. We will now move to agenda item B5, approval to relocate the sheriff's coroner's office. So you're back again.
Finally.
Well, good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Doring and Mr. Risen, Adam Christensen, your sheriff, and once again, we bring before you yet another outstanding project and another example of the teamwork and collaboration that goes into what we do in Stanislaus County. Everybody knows that the coroner's facility is aged, failing infrastructure, no longer meets the needs of the community. Our staff has done a terrific job taking what they have, the resources they have, and making it work and still meeting the demands for our services in the community. But we want to make sure that we are able to meet the needs of the community and family members for years to come. And that's really where we're at today, is what do we do to ensure that that service is available prospectively? And, you know, we spend considerable amounts of time with grieving family members and taking care of loved ones who have passed away. And the things that staff deals with in the community are oftentimes very difficult, and certainly they work under extraordinarily difficult circumstances, but they are compassionate, they are dedicated, they are committed, and they do an outstanding job. And the services we provide at the coroner's facility, again, has to meet the needs of the community. We're here today to present a proposal. This should make Supervisor DeMartini happy. But this is a great idea, and really it's a great idea that started with Supervisor Monteith and Supervisor O'Brien in our Capital Facilities Project Committee meetings. Why not repurpose existing facilities? Save the taxpayers money, get the facilities we need at a reduced cost, and still be able to provide an outstanding level of service to the community. So thanks to both of you for supporting us, and then of course my admiration and respect for Patty Hill Thomas, who always carries our banner and somehow manages to pull off great success, bringing $120 million to this county for public safety infrastructure and really all of our projects that we're doing, is really a remarkable testament to teamwork, collaboration, working together, and making sure that we're here to serve the people of Stanislaus County. So with that, we present to you our proposal for a brand new repurposed building, brand new state-of-the-art coroner's facility. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. Very nice comments. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I say finally because you would say it if I didn't say it first, and members of the board, Mr. Risen and Mr. Doring. We are back with what we think is a very credible plan for an effort that we struggled with. The coroner's facility has needed to be replaced for many years. And unfortunately, given the have and the have-nots of funding within the county government structure, there is no dedicated source of funding for the county's coroner's functions. The sheriff is responsible for, and they're a general fund obligation, and that makes our challenge all the more difficult and the opportunities all the more requiring extraordinary creativity. The project team is sprinkled all through the audience. I always like it when I get to sit here and take a moment to thank them because they worked hard, particularly on this one. A very special thanks to Mr. Mark Closure next to me who will join me in this presentation. I want to thank everyone for their patience on this project. We have a lot going on the Capitol facility side in this county, and we're proud of that. But sometimes we wonder if we should be careful what we wish for because it brings an extraordinary challenge to our work life. Facility planning is tricky, and there are often competing needs. And what's trickier is delivering a project successfully. And what we bring you today is not just a hope that we found the right solution today, but a pretty rock-solid plan to deliver this project pretty quickly and successfully. and its contention speed up a little bit. I'll talk about money in a bit to ensure its delivery. But I echo the comments of Sheriff Christensen. Your board's Capital Facilities Committee challenges us, and they work hard. Sometimes I think they meet with us so often that they should get paid more for that, because their thinking and their challenge to us helps us do a better job. And on the Coroner's facility, we really struggled to find a solution that wasn't to build it brand new. We've had a plan for years to build a brand new Coroner's facility, and it's a great plan, but it's never been affordable. And the presentation we'll make to you today is really in recognition of your board, entire board's leadership, and your board's committee challenging us not to give up, but to get focused and find a solution that's affordable. Today's solution, we believe, is the most affordable option we've ever considered for the Coroner's facility. And I too want to thank Supervisor O'Brien and Supervisor Monteith for your patience and your creativity and your tenacity to challenge us to do a better job. So thank you both. We are asking you today to relocate the Sheriff's Coroner's facility right across the parking lot. And that solution, while it seems like a new idea, is one that we didn't see as clearly as we should have and your board committee did. As part of the recommendations today, we ask you to negotiate and finalize the agreement for the design-build-bid process, a slight change in approach that's intended to deliver the project quicker, to permit it by July 1 of 2014, which seems like just a few days from now, and to get this project done. We also ask you to initiate the disposition of the former medical arts building located at 717th Street in downtown Modesto. Just a little bit of an overview. You had previously approved reusing that former medical arts building, vacant now for years, that was formerly the house of a county clinic operation. And we tried our best to do that. You approved a financing plan with a commitment of $6.2 million, that part financed through an internal note from the 2006 Tobacco Endowment Fund. And the project budget just for the coroner and the facility change was estimated to be $5.1 million back in 2012. We sought proposals for design, build, construction of that facility. Seven contractors were pre-qualified, and we received really great proposals, all of which were significantly over the budget. And I met with every contracting team that submitted a proposal, and they said, it's a doable project if you have a lot more money, because the structural change of using a two-story building of that vintage would require a lot more effort to construct it and deliver it successfully. You recognize that effort, and you authorized us to reject those bids, and being grateful for what we learned from those contractors, and directed us to find an option that would work, that was less money, would bring the project within the budget, and deliver the project soon. We looked at a lot of options. We've looked at a lot of buildings. We have looked at a lot of opportunities that surround whether we should continue to reuse the medical arts building, and the designers did a lot of work about how to simplify that opportunity. Unfortunately, simplifying the medical arts building to one floor would result in much of the building being vacant with another incompatible use, not really possible because of the sensitive and scientific nature of the coroner's facility. We looked at existing commercial and industrial sites within the community and beyond Modesto. We looked at what could be turned into a facility. We looked at all of the implications of that kind of option given the current real estate market, which is very favorable to a buyer. And we looked again at building a new facility. We've always had a plan to build a new facility, but it's never been affordable, as I said earlier. So earlier this year, we outlined all these options in great detail to your board's Capital Facilities Committee, and they told us, go back. And they told us to look for a better option, and they gave us a suggestion that we present to you today. Because it's not just a better option, it's the best option for the relocation of the coroner's function. We recently, just about a week ago, returned to your board's Capital Facilities Committee, keeping in mind that we have a lot of other projects underway that all sort of play together in the trickier business of facility planning. And based on this analysis, it is clear to us, to the designers, and to the independent cost estimator firm retained by the county, Sierra West, that the option to relocate across the parking lot is the lowest cost option we have ever evaluated for a new sheriff's facility. And Supervisor Monteef and O'Brien have acted as your board's committee to support these recommendations. You can see on this picture, Google Earth picture, that the existing little corner facility right there on the corner of what I call Oakdale and McDonald's, right on Oakdale Road, and you can see the vacant building right across the parking and site area that we're recommending today. There are several favorable factors. It's obviously adjacent. We're just moving across the way. It contains enough square footage, large enough not only for the full build-out, but for years of future expansion for the Sheriff's Corner function. We don't often get to say that to you when we make a recommendation, that kind of future expansion that we can't see today. You'll note there have been a number of issues in the past that our county is not prepared for a mass casualty incident. I hope, and we hope that never happens, but we know as we look across the nation that the more prepared we can be with both facilities and programs, the better off. This is a single-story construction building. There are no structural modifications required that are significant in any way for its reuse. It has great parking, it has existing utilities, and it's on the same exact footprint of the existing facility. I will note, Supervisor DeMartini, you have asked about in the past and recently about the Oregon donor partnering and revenue opportunities, and our Chief Deputy Coroner Larry Seymour is in the audience and can address those questions if you have those today. This is a picture of the floor plan. It doesn't show up as well on the big screen, but the areas that look white on the screen are all for future something related to the corner. We are primarily reusing the building with very little change. The very middle core is the autopsy suite that is essentially lifted from the medical arts design plan, so much of the design can be reused here. The very front two sort of light pink boxes could be an entryway garage with garage door openers to further shield the both the crime scene analysis and the disposition of decedents to this location. The estimated revised cost is $5.9 million. The project would be funded from the remaining $4.5 million in the corner capital budget, from $800,000 from our great bid savings from our juvenile hall roof and HVAC project, which is well underway right now and on schedule. And if additional funds are needed, there are $600,000 plus in the insurance proceeds from the Honor Farm. We're not asking you to make that decision today. We are not estimating that those additional funds are needed, but in case they are, we have identified a source of funding for them. Once we receive construction bids, we will come back to your board to establish that project budget. Again, I want to emphasize we have significantly contingencied this project to ensure its successful delivery, and it is expected to be accomplished within, absolutely within existing budget resources with no additional debt. We recommend today that you authorize the project manager to negotiate the agreement with Pacific Design. Pacific Design and Associates, represented today by the principal designer, Don Phillips, was selected for the Corners project through a competitive process. Much of the redesign for the new location will be reused from that original design. Mr. Phillips has more than met his obligation to redesign, and our recommended agreement reflects the new work that will be required for the new location and change. That's a really important component because we're partners, and when things don't fall within budget, we expect our partners to assist in the solution. We recommend continuing to contract with Pacific Design. It'll save us time, it'll save us money, and they've done a great job in terms of the scope of the design for the critical needs of the corner. In order to move quickly and to ensure that there's no uncertainty with the construction requirements, we're asking to change the approach, and you had originally authorized us to have this option in the first building, the last building, to design, bid, build. We will, with your approval, issue requests for statements of qualification for additionally interested general contractors and notify all of our 7 previously pre-qualified contractors, great contractors in the area, that we will be seeking bids from them again shortly. And on this screen is a list of all the contractors previously pre-qualified. As you know, I want to shift now to the medical arts building because these two projects go hand to hand, and the resources that could come from disposing the medical arts building could be a great assistance to us in other facility planning efforts underway. I'll note in particular our work with the veterans community. The medical arts building was used for years by the county's health services agency as an outpatient clinic, and it has also been vacant for years. It was a great solution a couple of decades ago in the strategic planning efforts to change the health services agency to simplify and to streamline their clinic operations and to seek what we still enjoy as a federally qualified health care lookalike status with the federal government, drew the county away from using this location as a clinic some years ago. You authorized us to reuse it, as I said earlier, for the coroner video visitation and medical records project, and we changed that recommendation today. We have no need for the county medical or the former medical arts building in the county. We have no need, and there is some interest in the community. So we're recommending that you authorize us to initiate the disposition of that building starting today. We'll come back to you with specific recommendations. Under the disposition provisions of the code, your board will be required to set a minimum price for the ultimate surplus and sort of an auction for that building. This is a picture of that building located at 17th Street in downtown Modesto. We have a couple of loose ends. We need a place for video visitation, and we have a great idea what to do about that, and we'll bring that back to you because we'll also be shortly bringing you a recommendation to award a design build construction bid for our new day reporting center. And we will need some medical record space, and our health services agency managing director is in the audience, and she's working on that as we speak. This is a short timeline. This project needs to be permitted prior to July 1. It needs to be bid shortly thereafter, and it needs to be complete in a little more than a year from now, unless we can beat that schedule and make it happen faster. I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Lozier, who's done a great job of assembling the details of this project and helping bring the recommendations to you today, and he'll review the recommendations.
Hey, good morning. So there are 7 recommendations before you today. The first is approval to relocate the Sheriff's Corner office to a vacant county building at County Center 3. The second is we're seeking authority for the project manager to negotiate and execute an agreement with Pacific Design and Associates of Modesto, California, and that's for the final design for the reuse of the former remote postal encoding center at County Center 3, and authority to amend the contract for up to $20,000 beyond the final negotiated base amount. We are also asking you to direct the auditor controller to decrease fixed assets appropriations and to increase service and supplies appropriations as outlined in the attached budget journal form, and also to authorize the project manager to pre-qualify the original 7 contractors previously approved to be granted pre-qualification status for this design build effort. Recommendation 5 is authorize the project manager to issue a request for qualification statement for other interested general contractors to bid the project. Number 6, authorize the project manager to initiate the disposition of the former medical arts building at 717th Street in downtown Modesto, and to return to the Board of Supervisors to recommend the next steps for the disposition of the building. And finally, the last recommendation is to direct staff to identify options for future video visitation and medical records functions.
With that, we would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any other questions of staff? Supervisor Kazin.
I have a question for County Council. I just want to make sure, because I absolutely agree that Pacific Design Associates has done excellent work, and it's logical for them to continue. I just want to make sure we're not running afoul of anything in going forward with this recommendation.
It's legal and appropriate to continue to contract with Pacific Designs for this particular work that they've already participated in earlier versions of this much identical project. So it makes sense from a what we refer to as the grading exception to any competitive bidding. But in fact, there is no requirement for competitive bidding on these kind of design works.
Thank you.
Hey, Supervisor Withrow.
Just, Patty, just a couple questions. So it looks like we're about $600,000 into this thing that we've kind of gone through. My math is right here. I'm just trying to make the medical art building work, and now it's not going to work. So the original cost estimates, was Pacific Design involved in the original cost estimates for the medical arts building, saying this is what we think we could do it for, and then it turned out that it... Where did the original cost estimates come from?
The original cost estimates came prior to the selection of Pacific Design.
Okay.
We created a cost model.
Okay,
we created
us.
The idea. Okay. We sought competitive proposals. That was us.
Okay.
And throughout the entire project, we have run dual estimating, both Pacific Design, who's used Cummins, who is an extraordinarily well-respected estimator, and the county, who uses Sierra West, very well-respected. All of the estimators, all of the designers, believe this job could be simpler and had less cost exposure than the contracting community believed it would.
Okay. And then we think by staying with Pacific Design that there's going to be some efficiencies here. Some of the money of that $600,000 that we've already spent, we're going to be able to apply and use it for this, reduce the cost of the design of the new facility we're looking at now.
Absolutely. And Mr. Phillips would probably tell you, he's, I think, way back in the room, that as much as I try to be polite, I've been very, very focused on him giving us essentially the credit. And he has a spreadsheet. He has three versions of a spreadsheet that our team has gone through in detail to ensure that that value returned back, it exceeds $100,000 that he is contributing, that's already been done, and he's already been paid for, and he's not going to be paid for twice to deliver it. We've been very focused on this. We have a tough architectural agreement in this county, and we hold people to it. But I want to tell you that Mr. Phillips has been extraordinarily honorable. He's given a lot to this project, and he agrees that with a new agreement that will essentially pay his team for the additional work required for the new location, not the redo portion.
Okay, thanks.
And I'm happy to share those spreadsheets with you.
Okay, thanks.
Supervisor O'Brien.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just want to address one of the issues that was talked about a little bit in the presentation. We have two members of our Veterans Advisory Committee with us today. And I know we went down a path of talking about this facility to be used as a Veterans Hall. And our actions today, I just want to reassure the committee that the county is still focused in moving forward and helping find a location. And by putting the medical arts building up for sale or disposition should bring us some resources to move forward. So just want to let you know that the commitment of the board is still with you, and we will find the ideal location for you. Thank you.
Supervisor Monteith.
I, too, would like to enforce with the veterans that this board is committed to your program and finding facilities for you. And we just want to make sure you understand that. And we appreciate your patience and your input. I also would like to say at this time, I'd like to praise the staff for its endless pursuit in addressing this need. I will just say it very calmly. And easily, I'll just say, job well done, and thank you.
And I'd like to ask a question about the organ donor area for transplants. I know it's not a real subject we like to talk about a lot, but it was always in the plan to have a facility that would accommodate something like that.
And it remains. And this is Chief Deputy Coroner Larry Seymour.
Good morning, Supervisor.
Maybe if we can see the diagram of the building, it might be helpful to point out where that would be. Is there funds in the budget for that right now, or is that something that would have to come in the future?
The facility, I'm looking for the diagram. Of course, I can't find it that quickly, and I can't see it that far away. My apologies.
Yeah, if you look at the plans there, it's on the, well, from my perspective, in the middle of the left-hand side, right by the garages. Right, down a little bit lower, right there. Correct. That's where it's initially planned to go.
So that's going to be all built at the same time then?
Yes.
Not a future project?
Yes.
That's what I wanted to be sure of. We've been working on this project for such a long time, and that was always a component of it.
Maybe explain what were you talking about?
The organ?
Well, the general public. I think maybe explain a little bit more about what we're looking at for the general public.
I think so, too.
Yeah, the donor networks, we partnership with them for transplant services. They come to our facility and sometimes the hospitals to, I think a better term, to harvest organs to be given to recipients. And as part of our partnership with the donor network, we allow them access to our building and facility to conduct some of those transplants and harvesting.
Okay, thank you. And I just wanted to be sure that was part of the plan.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you.
We've been working on this so many years that I can't even remember when it started, but I really have to say that we certainly have a goal-oriented staff who just gets things done. For the law enforcement, for modernization of everything, you've done an outstanding job. Started with the juvenile hall expansion. Then it was two projects at the county jail, one for $80 million, another one for $40 million, and the replacement of the Honor Farm facility out by Grayson, and now the Corners facility. And this is a major overhaul of all the law enforcement facilities. And this is the one component that was really missing. We have, at the present time, a very inadequate facility. Ventilation system, size of it. It might have been fine in the 70s, but we certainly outgrown the facility. And this will take us in the county to take care of us for the future, probably for 50 years or better. And there's also, you know, a lack of space in the old facility for any kind of mass casualties. You know, at one time we had worried about terrorism, and you know, it's still out there that we could have anthrax or smallpox or something that would cause a major a disaster that would overload the present facility. And I hope something like that never happens, but we really need to be prepared. And this facility could also be used by other counties, too, if they had a problem. So I'm in full support of this. It's what we need. It's done at a reasonable cost, and we've looked at everything from building a new facility, the safety center, to remodeling the medical arts building, to buying something else, to now to this. And I think this suits our needs, and it's a reasonable cost, and it's really a great job well done, as always. I don't know if you have any more goals that you can achieve for us, because you've come through with everything in the last few years. Really can't compliment you enough for everything that you've done.
You've kept
the cost down.
Thank you. We have a great team, mm-hmm. and we have a great board, and we have a great Capital Facilities Committee, and we work well together, so thank you. I'm sorry I interrupted, but I needed to share that compliment. It's really well
done. I think we have the best team of any county in California.
Thank you.
So, further comments from the board?
Can I comment one more? I want to say I know Deputy Chief Seymour, we continue to ask our folks to do things in substandard conditions, whether it's in the jail, whether it's with the Corners facility, they continue to do it, and that's the reason we've been able to make it through this cycle, the worst recession since the Great Depression. And it's not only in the SO, it's probably pervasive throughout the county with our limited funds, but we do appreciate, you know, the Corners facility, what you have to work with over there. We do appreciate what you guys are doing for us. So, thank you.
Anyone else? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve all staff recommendations and also to thank staff. Staff put up politely to say that we challenged them. We worked very hard on this project, and a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of redos. And Capital Facilities work staff part of this one, so we appreciate everything you've done to get us to this point.
Okay, is there a second to the motion? Okay, motion has been made and seconded. We accept the 7 staff recommendations. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion's carried, 5-0. Job well done.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we have no scheduled matters today. We will now move to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from Assemblyman Adam Gray regarding the state standards for the hexavalent chromium levels in drinking water.
Refer to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received a notice from the Federal Aviation Administration regarding the release of a draft environmental assessment to consider the potential environmental impacts of the implementation of the Northern California Optimization of Airspace and Procedures in the Metroflex Project Area.
Refer to the Chief Executive Office.
This board has received the claim as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claim and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports? Supervisor O'Brien.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I do have a report to make. I want to report out that Chairman DeMartini, myself, CEO of Ryzen, and our Legislative Director, David Jones, traveled to Washington, D.C. on county business last week. We had a very quick time in D.C. with a lot of meetings and a lot of good meetings. We met, of course, all of our legislative offices. We met with Veteran Administration. We met in White House. We met Commerce Department, Army Corps of Engineers, COPS Office. It was a lot of meetings in a very short time, and we think they all went positive. We got our message across and really reiterated our federal platform. So it went well. So thank you.
Are there any other Board of Supervisor reports? Okay, seeing none, legislative fiscal management report, Mr. Ryzen.
I just can mention that California Senator Alex Padilla, who sits on the Senate Elections Committee, will be visiting our elections office this Friday.
Oh, okay. Okay, we will now turn to closed session. Mr. Doering.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have closed session. First is conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D1. This involves one case, Lindsay Leonardo versus County of Stanislaus et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 630620. Additionally, we have conference with legal counsel to discuss significant exposure to litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D2. This involves one matter related to the EEOC Conciliation Agreement, number 556-2010-004408. Do not expect to report out on any of these matters.
Being no further business, this meeting stands adjourned.